This weekend, some of the best Splatoon teams in the world will face off in the Land of the Rising Sun. Does the Western contingent have what it takes this time around to beat some of Japan's best and brightest talent? Hello there, Inklings, Octolings, and whatever other sea creatures you may identify as. My name is K-Bot, and welcome to this week's episode of the Weekly Splat, where I discuss some of the news and happenings in the competitive Splatoon scene in the past week. This week, we'll take an even closer look at the four teams participating in this coming weekend's Platinum Cup Invitational in Tokyo. As a reminder, you can send me a voice message through the Anchor mobile app about anything we've talked about today. I'd love to hear what you're looking forward to most about the Platinum Cup this weekend. If you're not listening via Anchor, you can also send a quick voice clip to ikafeedsplat@gmail.com. Without any further ado, let's get into it. Before we look ahead to the big event this weekend, let's take a look back at this past week. Bleck & Spoon's Season 5 wrapped up on Thursday in a Clam Blitz tournament, where out of 36 participating teams, Puppy Pop beat Phantom for the majority of the $440 donation prize pool, BNS's largest prize pool so far. Casual Fridays hosted a Rainmaker-only tournament, where out of 24 teams, Phantom beat Gemini in Grand Finals. On Saturday, Sendow & Company hosted In the Zone 5, a Splat Zones-only tournament, where pickup of Power, Toon, Kiver, and Kyo took gold over Prophecy out of 23 teams. Also, in the Oceanic region over the weekend, the annual Splat of Origin tournament was held, featuring top Australia-New Zealand talent on six teams based on geographic region. In the finals, the Victoria Flippers came out on top of the South Australia Leafies. This week was a comparatively busy week in Ludi's X Division, where in Group B, Saikai beat Resin 5-0, Prophecy beat Bonanza Brothers 5-0, and Ghost Gaming beat Phantom 5-0. Other matches that were played this week from previous weeks include Ghost Gaming beating Saikai 5-2 and Saikai beating Bonanza Brothers 5-1. Meanwhile, here's a live listen-in to Group A of the X Division. We'll see what happens this last reschedule week as the regular season of Season 6 comes to a close. Unless you've used this podcast as background noise, or unless you've otherwise been living under a rock in the Splatoon community recently, you know that the fourth iteration of the Platinum Cup is this coming Saturday, August 4th, and is being held in Tokyo, Japan. The four teams that will be present have shown their stuff and qualified among some of the best talent in their respective scenes. Representing Japan and qualifying via the Splat Japan League, we have winners of the 2018 Splatoon World Championship GG Boys, featuring Taiji, Dynamon, Et7SP, and Mokoyama, along with winners of the Splat Japan League's second season, Liblint Calamari, featuring Cross, Atabaru, 2438, and Pyron. Meanwhile, representing the West and qualifying via the Inkstorm Cup will be the North American Juggernauts in Set to Destroy X, featuring Kiver, Fuzzy, Pengit, and Hexen, along with the European Super Team Ghost Gaming, featuring Sendow, Brian, Soren, and Erza. This week, I sat down with Splatstats' very own Ganba Wumi to discuss how this coming Saturday might play out. Ganba has kept a very close eye on the Japanese scene, especially the Splat Japan League. I hope you enjoy. So hi there, Ganba. Thanks for joining me this evening.
Hello. Thanks for inviting me.
Not a problem at all. So, with the Splat Japan League just wrapping up, what are some of the trends in general compositions that we've seen of particularly Liblint Calamari and the GG Boys? Like, what is each team really known for, and what can we expect to see this weekend from them?
Both teams like to do the double inkjet, though they get them from different weapons. Libellant Calamari prefers Custom Blaster and N Parries, while the GG Boys prefer N Parry and Ten Attack. Etuma and Atobaru play very similar roles on each team, both favoring custom dually squelchers during Splat Japan League.
Okay. So when you maybe compare some of the composition things that you were talking about there with some of the Western teams that we've seen, such as Zeta Destroy X and Ghost Gaming, obviously, how do they stack up? Like, what kind of differences do you see? And how do you think the Western teams are going to fare versus the Japanese teams this time around?
Zeta Destroy X, I was fairly surprised by their comps in the games I've seen in Inkstorm. Because I know Fuzzy has played N Parry before, and I believe Kiver has as well. But they weren't really running double inkjet, which was kind of weird considering Hexen was on the H3 Nozomo's D a lot, so I figured he was trying to give them armor for it.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Pinguit also played a lot of Rapid Blaster Pro Deco. Ghost Gaming, on the other hand, they've been running, I guess, a double backliner comp, which has not been favored in Japan for a long time.
So do you think, like, a double backliner would have any advantages versus what we're seeing in Japan? Or do you think the aggressive nature of, like, a double inkjet comp is going to shut down Ghost?
Ghost is interesting because they do have a Charger with Brian playing with them. But as we've seen, Rapid overall hasn't been used highly outside of Dynamon, I guess. So they'll have to be prepared for dealing with potentially two dualies, an N Parry, as well as a custom dually sculpture.
Okay. So again, do you think that has there been anything kind of in the past where you've seen a more, I guess, defensive comp play against an aggressive comp in the Splat Japan League? And how does that typically play out? Is it just all in your face as far as the aggressive comp goes, and that just kind of shuts down whatever happens? Or
The top three teams in the recent Splat Japan League, all of them had consistent two inkjets. I believe it was Meteor and Yuyudo who weren't running inkjet or double inkjet, and they ended up being the bottom teams in Season 2, with Yuyudo being the team that would generally run double backline. And towards the latter half of the league, they actually tried using two NZAPs, I guess, to maybe try and counter the inkjets, but it wasn't working out for them.
Interesting. Okay. So obviously we're coming up on the turn of the month here, which typically means we're going to see some sort of a patch. So if a patch occurs before the Platinum Cup, do you think it's going to have, I mean, obviously it depends on what exactly it changes, but do you think it'll have significant impact in what we see in the Invitational versus what we might have expected going into it?
I mean, it really depends what gets changed. The biggest thing across every region is just how dominant Inkjet is. So even if it would affect the Japanese teams, it would also affect the Western teams.
So really, I mean, it probably isn't going to matter a whole lot, is what you're saying. You don't think?
No, I don't really think so.
Okay. So what are you personally most looking forward to seeing this weekend? It could be something with the exhibition matches that I know are happening. It could be, you know, just whatever you're most interested as far as what the players are going to pick or what have you.
Well, I'm really interested in seeing Gigi Boys and Liblint Calamari finally playing in a LAN setting together.
Has that not happened before?
Calamari lost in round one of Rage 2018 Spring. And then, yeah, that's about the only possible chance they could have fought. Oh no! The Koshien qualifiers back in around mid to late 2017, Calamari ended up winning or getting second place in the qualifiers, and GG Boys lost to the team that won that qualifier. So it almost happened, but it didn't quite work out.
Okay, then. I guess that's interesting. So is there anything else you'd like to add about the Platinum Cup in general, or is there anything that Splatstats is doing? I know you're doing work with them specifically for the Platinum Cup, or if you want to plug yourself, just anything else you'd like to add.
I hope the players remember that sub abilities are disabled, and I'd like to see how they adjust to that in both potential weapon changes or of gear changes.
Yeah, it is true. I forgot about that. I remember reading that somewhere, and then yeah, so that'll add another layer of okay then. Anything else?
No, I think that's about it.
All right, well, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. A few more things to note about Platinum Cup 4. Before the actual Platinum Cup event itself takes place, a pickup tournament will happen, where the captains of each of the participating teams will have to draft one player from each of the other three teams for a few exhibition matches. So basically, it's the Splatoon version of Playground Kickball, except you're not allowed to pick who you want to. Ghost's fourth primary roster member and popular Splatoon YouTuber ThatSRB2Dude will travel along with the primary Ghost Gaming roster to develop a documentary of the event. Be sure to catch the Platinum Cup 4 live at midnight Eastern Daylight Time on the morning of August 4th on twitch.tv/endgametv1. Personally, I'll be messing with my sleep schedule quite a bit to catch this event, because I know it'll be more than worth it. That's it for this week's episode of The Weekly Splat. Thanks for tuning in. Everything that's been talked about today will be linked in the podcast description, including more information about the Platinum Cup, so if you're interested in any of that, be sure to check that out. Thanks to my special guest this week, Ganbawumi, for the interview. Be sure to follow her on Twitter for an in-depth coverage of Japanese majors. Her Twitter will also be linked down below. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, and follow me on Twitter for consistent updates at kbot_273. If you have any feedback, feel free to message me there as well. The Weekly Splat works in tandem with EgaFeed, as both products aim to keep you, Splatoon players, informed about the competitive community. If you're not already following EgaFeed on Twitter, I suggest you do to stay up to date on the most recent competitive Splatoon news. Thanks again for listening, Cephalopods, and happy splatting.